What's up, everyone? Welcome to week 7 of the Syndicates. I am Eddie Zamaitis alongside Vic and John. As always, we are recovering from one of those weeks that we all knew was going to come eventually. But 0-1 in the college world, 1-2 in the NFL. First losing week of the year, I think. Is that right, guys?
Yep. Yeah. I mean, it took a lot for us to have a losing week, too. But a losing week is a losing week, so carry on. We'll get it going this week for everybody. I kind of like this board in the NFL this week.
Same. I do too. College is still a little iffy. It's just been a weird year in college where it hasn't been that many good games. So I haven't been able to find too many that I like, but I do have one that I did like and one I wanted to talk to you guys about. We'll touch on towards the end. So obviously we had some bad breaks in our games that we played last week. I don't think any, we all were kind of on the Lions, I think, when we talked about it on the pod last week. But, John, man, they got so screwed. And I'm not just saying that because you're on here. But, man, that was brutal what happened to them on Monday night. What was your whole reaction to the calls by the refs?
Oh, God. How many F-bombs was I dropping in our group chat? I wasn't saying anything but F-bombs, but – I mean, listen, that's not the first time that's happened to us. We lose so many different ways. I don't know if every team can say this, but I know that the Lions have lost so many different ways. And then this is just another way that we took the loss. I mean, can we just talk about the officiating that's the reason why we lost. I don't care how many times we kick field goals in the red zone. I don't care that we didn't score touchdowns. Yeah, we didn't do any of that stuff, but you know what? If the refs made the right call, then we still win the game. So I don't care if we just only kicked field goals. People have been saying, oh, you should have scored touchdowns. Well, you know, all that being said, we still should have won that game if the refs made the right call. So there was so many bad calls made by the officials. Those not just those two hands to the face, which, you know, everybody saw. There was 13 men on the field. Yep. Alan Lazard was down at the 1 yard line instead of in the end zone. You know, that should be reviewed by upstairs. So, you know, and then we had some penalties on our side. We had a 12 men on the field. We had our safety was going for an interception. You guys remember this play? He was going for an interception and he hit Allison's hands and they call it a roughing play on us. It's like, oh my God, so many things went by. But like,
and the non-pass interference call.
Yep.
The non-pass interference call. But listen, like the non-pass interference call, you know, and the 13 men on the field, I put that on us. Throw a flag. You know, I know they haven't been challenging those. I know they haven't been overturning those pass interference calls. But, I mean, at that point, with all the momentum going the other way, what do you got to lose? Throw the flag. The 13 men on the field, how do you miss that? How don't you throw a flag on it? So, There are some things that we could have done, which we still should have won the game. Just really quick, like, how can there be common sense in officiating where there's an eye in the sky? And it any play should be able to be reviewed if it was blatantly wrong. And those hands to the face calls, if anybody that saw that, you know, the reason why the Robbie Coleman play in the Saints game got changed over, it was because it was a blatantly bad call. Not because it was pass interference, because it was a blatantly bad call. This was a blatantly bad call. All they had to do was look at it and say, you know what? There was no hands to the face. That's not a penalty. I mean, that's just common sense. I don't understand how things like that continue to happen in the NFL. The teams are so good, and I know I'm ranting. I'm not letting any of you guys speak. I was so upset this weekend. But the teams are so good in the NFL nowadays that, you know, it can't come down to an official's bad call to make a team win or lose a game. But
yeah, and this is kind of a question I wanted to pose to you guys was like, how do you fix it? Because you can't obviously review every single penalty. The game will take forever. People will be outraged. People are pissed about just the pass interference replays now. And imagine that times 10 if we start reviewing all the penalties. But at the same time, these guys practice all week long. Coaches don't even see their wives for, you know, 6 months out of the year while the season's going on. And like, you can't, it all comes down to one play or like one or two plays where the referees blow a call that just kind of screws your whole week up. The amount of prep time that these guys put in each week for these games, know that like one play could flip how an entire game goes. And that's what happened in these two situations. We had one, the one obviously with the Saints last year, and the one with the nine different calls this week with the Lions. So,
yeah, I mean, with the Lions, that game is the difference between first and last in the NFC North right now. And
oh yeah, that's gonna have a lingering effect on our team. Right, exactly. I pretty much guarantee.
I mean, that could be the season, right? So I don't know, but it's a $1 billion business. They need to figure this out. People are frustrated. Lions have gotten jobbed in the past many times, but this was the first time, John, and you might agree, but I don't know if he just like turned off everything after the game, but this is the first time I saw like everyone in the country sticking up for the Lions. Like everyone was pissed off, whether it was former players, fans, gamblers, you name it, man. Even Packers fans admittedly were like, oh, you know, like, hey, that was pretty shitty. And Packers fans never say that, right? So they got to do something about it, man. Whether it's just, like John said, it's common sense. Like they could do this stuff in a second. We have the technology. They can have a guy or two. I know Dan Orlovsky was saying on Get Up, just like college, where the guy just buzzes him and tells him right in his ear, it was a call or wasn't a call. You know, just
that's it.
Stuff. Like, I don't know why we're still to this point in the NFL, and even with ball placements, like, how is there not a chip? It's just up to the guy, like, who randomly puts it wherever he wants to put it. You know, there's so many little things, and like you guys said, not with gambling and fantasy in the forefront and just all the money involved with everything, they need to get all this stuff right, and they need to do it now. They can't just waste another year, cost another four teams games, and people are getting frustrated, man. People I know are stopping to watch the NFL. If you're not gambling or playing fantasy, why are you even watching some of these games? It's so bad now.
Yeah, it's a shitty situation for it to kind of play out like that each week. And it's just happening way too often now where we just see calls that are missing. I don't know if it's lack of training. I know that they've always – you know, these guys have other jobs. I think Ed Hockley was like a head of a law firm, a partner, attorney. Yeah. Some guys are school principals. So I don't know if it's just that they're not full time. It's a lack of attention that they're just paying, or the game's becoming too fast. I'm sure it's a variety of things, but something needs to be done because it's happening.
It's not that difficult, though. They're a $1 billion industry. There's 14 games on a week. Have one. How much is it going to cost them to have one extra guy watching the game from above and saying, that wasn't hands to the face. Buzz them down. That was not a catch. That, you know, they don't have to go and look at it for 15. We see it on TV. When there's a challenge on the play, and we can see it on the TV and make that call within 5 seconds.
Yeah, all of us know in a minute, literally. We don't need to have the guy go to the sideline, put on his glasses, look under the hood, take 7 minutes, this and that. I mean, all of us know in like a second, right? Even if it's against your team and you're like, fuck, right? But we know right away. There's a guy up in the sky, like John said, it takes 30 seconds for him to just buzz. And there's got to be – this needs to get done ASAP. It needs to get done like this week. And the NFL hasn't – all they can say is, oh, we're sorry, like usual.
Yeah, I wish they could have something implemented. You guys talked about the chip and the ball, like something like tennis, where the tennis player just raises his hand, everybody starts clap, 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 and then 10 seconds later, it's over. Challenge is done. Won or lost. That's it. Like the NFL has got to be able to do something similar to that, where you can say, okay, yep, hands to the face, or show three replays that you think are the best views. If you can't see it after those three replays, all right, call on the field stands. Something like that, where it just speeds up the game so it doesn't slow it down too much. Something needs to be done because teams are losing games now because of officials' calls, and that just can't happen. So,
and turning this back around to our world, I know none of us think like this. Like, you know, there's setups and stuff like that. That's not happening in the NFL, right? But, I mean, there's so many more people gambling nowadays than there was couple of years ago, and you know, especially 10 years ago, and there's going to be more people gambling in the next, you know, 5 years. It's going to be legal in almost every state, and everybody's going to, you know, try to get a taste of this. When a regular guy from Detroit goes and just wants to bet on his home team, and then he watches a game like that, he's going to, you know, there's going to be implications, or people are going to think that, you know, this is rigged, like the way it's like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I know it's not, I'm not saying that. I know you guys don't think that, but I could totally see how somebody that just puts $50 on a game and is watching it, and it's the first time they put a bet, and they see something like that happen and they say it's rigged. I mean, the line's still covered, but you know what, you guys get where I'm going with
this. Yeah. I mean, you nailed it. I mean, there's a whole influx of new gamblers, right? Casual gamblers, people just getting into football, getting into fantasy, getting into gambling. And you saw on Twitter, I mean, we live in a little bubble on the internet where we kind of follow stuff because we're like hardcore fans and gamblers after games. But you saw how many people are like, this is rigged, you know, this is BS. Because obviously that's going to be their initial thoughts because they're not well-versed like us.
Stafford's wife was saying it.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. People are going to say it, right? Like whether you're on the squad, whether you're watching the game, and because now more than ever, they're like, oh, gambling is just starting to get legalized. Maybe this is a ploy, right? I mean, their conspiracy theories come up. We know because we've been watching sports for so long, we've been involved in sports that it's very, very hard to do, especially in football. But at the same time, to your point, man, I mean, that's just another big reason they got to get this stuff right.
Sign me up, yeah. NFL. You don't even you can pay me the minimum pot. You know, give me 20 G's for my time for the year. I'll do this for free, basically. So I mean, it's common sense. I can do this by myself. You know what I'm saying? So I mean, I can't figure out how a billion-dollar industry cannot figure that out.
Yeah.
All right, so let's jump into the games.
All right, let's make some get money.
Let's get to what everybody's waiting for. Thursday night football. We have the Chiefs at the Broncos. Opened up 4.5. It's down to 3. So Chiefs were favorites on the road. Now they are only -3. Guys, Kansas City's not looking good lately. I think a lot of people have found the recipe to kind of beating them, and they need to quickly adapt because teams are just running the ball and keeping it out of Patrick Mahomes' hands, leaving him on the sidelines. I think I saw in the second half of the last two games – the time of possession is like, I think, 41 minutes to 19 minutes in favor of the opposing teams over the Chiefs. So they're just keeping Patrick Mahomes on the sidelines. And I think Kansas City's almost becoming a little too reliant on Patrick Mahomes, kind of, you know, heading away from the run game. Doesn't have all their star wide receivers healthy. I know some guys are just coming back from injury and other guys are still injured. So, might be a little recipe out there. I just don't know if I would trust the Broncos and Joe Flacco. I'm still not sold on them. Their defense is not as good as it used to be. And I don't know. I just don't think that they are a good team yet. So I'm not probably going to bet this one. If I did, I don't want to say I lean towards Kansas City, but I don't think the Broncos would be my play. So I'll kind of leave it at that. But Vic, what do you think about this game? I don't know where the percentages are. I'm guessing it's going to be on Kansas City as usual. But
yeah. I mean, of course, everyone's on Kansas City. Got about 78% of the public on them. Line started at 5.5. It's down to 3 in most books. Sorry again, John, because this I feel like it's just a tough week. But like the Lions were the ones that kind of had the blueprint to slow down the Chiefs, right? And they should have won that game as well. Their teams are playing them man-to-man. Like you said, Eddie, they're keeping the ball away. They're doing a good job. The only thing is I don't trust the Broncos offense enough. I know the teams that have kind of defeated the Chiefs or hung with them have good quarterbacks. They have good offenses. They can play that ball control style. Denver is playing good the last 2 weeks. It's tough, man. I'll probably pass this game. I want to bet the Chiefs. I wanted to bet them last week because I thought there was some value on them, but until I see them kind of turning it around, I don't know if I could put real money on them. So, John, I'll open it up to you, man. Do you have a pick for this game?
It's so tough because Denver's been good to me the last 2 weeks. I liked them against Tennessee last week. I was telling you guys, I don't think we agreed on that all the way around, but I felt like that was the right side. 2 weeks ago, they played I can't even remember, but I think I called them to win the game, and they against the Chargers, and they ended up beating them. right? Yeah. So you know, they've been good, right? And then so now they're playing Kansas City. You know, everybody's looking at it, and you know, Kansas City looks like the nice juicy pick here. The line opened 4.5, 5, like we're saying, and it's down to 3. So like, man, is Kansas City such a Joe public pick? And I still can't see myself taking if you take away the team names and Patrick Mahomes and the Tyreek Hills and all the things and just say A versus B, right? We, between the three of us, are going to say we're taking the Broncos. We're taking Denver, the underdog, right? So, and I don't know, man. I still can't see myself doing it because when they get out on that field, Flacco makes these stupid plays sometimes. I can totally see that happening. I haven't seen – I might be wrong. I don't know if I'm going to get this correct or not. On Thursday night, I don't know if it's the favorites that's covered every time or the home team that's covered every time. I'm pretty sure it's a favorite.
So, I mean, dogs have been covering, actually.
The dogs? No, on Thursday?
Yeah, that's what I had. The first.
No, I mean, I know New England covered last week.
I'll go. Why don't you keep going? Yeah. I'll look it up.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure the favorite's been covering every Thursday. And there's so many sucker picks out there this week that I feel like are not going to come through. Maybe this is a weird way to think. Maybe they'll start off with one this week. I between the three of us, we haven't made up our – we can't take the Broncos is basically what we're saying. So, I don't know. It's tough. I don't really have a pick for this game either, and I usually end up playing it somehow, some way on Thursday night.
Yeah, I think Vic is right. I think it is the dogs that have been covering.
It's actually 6-0 dogs, no. Or 5-1 dogs.
Yeah, Patriots were the first one.
Oh, Patriots was the first one.
Pats were the first one, so it was 5-0 going into Pats. Depending on where you got that Seattle Rams line,
right?
I see. Because they got that wrong.
1.5, I'm pretty sure, and they won by 1. But so it was 5-1 dogs.
I wish this was two different teams where the line adjusted the way that it did. You know, if it was anybody besides Kansas City and Denver, I'd probably end up taking the underdog in this game. Yeah. I just don't see how Denver's going to end up pulling this off, especially after Kansas City losing 2 games. So I'm with you, Eddie, man. I kind of like KC a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to bet Kansas City, though. Right. I just don't like laying 3 points on the road. It goes against every fiber that I bet with. So, another one -3 Sunday, 1:00, Arizona at New York. Giants favored by 3. Action looks pretty split. I don't really have an opinion on this game. Arizona has been looking good the past 2 games, but I think we might have squeezed out a little too much value from them there. Giants also, it's just 2 really bad teams. So, I'm just going to be quick on this one, tell you I'm not going to bet it. And I don't know. Are you guys going to be betting this game?
No, but you were right on the head with Arizona over Atlanta last week. Yeah, that was a nice 405. You know, that was a 405 game there where when it came down to it, you know, right before kickoff, most of the public money was all over the Falcons, and you called it out early in the week saying how is Arizona going to lose to these guys? So that was a nice call last week, but I don't know. This game is too, like, it's 1:00. There's so many other things that I like that I'm not going to end up touching this one. Not even gonna, this is one that is going to get barely any airtime on my end, at least. So I don't got an opinion on this either.
Yeah, I'm in the same place. The Cards have been playing a lot better the last 2 weeks. The Giants get back pretty much everyone they've been missing. So that's why you see this big line jump from 1-3. 64% of the public's on the Giants. So Barkley pretty much tweeted that he's back. Shepard, Ingram practiced. So it looks like they're getting their whole squad back. But the Cards are playing good football, man. So I'll probably sit this one out for now. But that's why you're seeing it at -3 now across the board.
Yeah, that was the only 4:00 game I hit last week. I got obliterated during the 4:00 games. The Rams killed me. I was on the Titans opposite of you guys, and forget what the other one was, but I lost on that one too. Jets. So, Jets, I won. So, what am I talking about? I was 2-2. All right. Next game up is my pick of the week: Houston at Indianapolis, and looks our like pick I. Of the week. What's that?
I think we all.
Sorry, I just said our pick of the week.
pretty much. Well, I mean, that's how we felt about the Browns last week. Look how that turned out. So we'll see. I'm hoping this one is a little bit different for us because Indianapolis at home, only favored by a point. I think it opened them favored by 2.5 in some places, but that might have been the look-ahead line. All the money coming in on the Texans. The Texans are everybody's sexy team right now. They're just coming off two wins where they scored 31 and 53 points. So anytime the public sees offense, 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 that means bet, bet, bet. I like to do the opposite. I think Indianapolis is still a really good team, man. I don't think the fall off with Andrew Luck retiring is that different compared to Jacoby Brissett, who they got in there now. I obviously still think Andrew Luck is a much better quarterback, but I don't think it's as big of a drop-off as people think. So Indianapolis is a good football team. They're so well coached, and if you give me Frank Wright over Bill O'Brien, I'll take Frank Wright all day. Colts in the past have had this matchup too. They just last year, I think they beat the Texans. They might have swept them in all three games. I remember in the wild card round, we were all on Indianapolis as like our favorite pick of the week in the wild card over Houston in Houston, and came out and dominated them. I think we're going to see something similar to that where Indianapolis controls the line of scrimmage, controls the clock, and they end up pulling out the win here. So I like Indianapolis at home -1 is what looks like the consensus line is. I saw some picks out there. I don't know if they're still out there, but I'll just give it out at -1. They're pretty much the same thing. So Indy -1, my pick of the week. You guys, I guess, like it too from what we talked about before.
Yeah, we're all in agreement on this. I know we were all in agreement last week on the Browns, but the difference between what the Colts have done on this podcast for us as of in making money and what the Browns have done are night and day, right? So yeah. This has been our go-to team. We've been riding them ever since last year. They're a legit Super Bowl contender. To make the Super Bowl, if they had a quarterback, I feel like in the end the Andrew Luck thing is gonna come back to hurt them. It hasn't shown up yet, but man, I don't see another team in the AFC which hasn't been as good as the NFC. Besides New England, Indy showed you how to beat Kansas City. They did it in Kansas City, so I like this team a lot. I like the way they're going to be able to run the ball. I like the pass rush they're going to be able to get on Houston too. So all that being said, and the line kind of favoring the way we like to play as contrarian bettors, I'm definitely going to be all over the Colts on this one too.
Yeah, I mean, you guys hit it all on the head. I love the Colts this week. Two big additions. Obviously, Darius Leonard is back, which is huge. He's the key on their defense. And then T.Y. Hilton's back on offense. So letdown spot a little bit for the Texans. Public's on Houston. Indy at home. I love everything about them this week. That was one of the games I was looking at as my pick of the week too. So Colts -1. I think we're all aboard the train, man. And let's not talk about the Browns, bro. That was one of the most frustrating games I've ever seen that I've bet on. The goal line debacle, all the stuff. I feel like every time I bet on the Browns, this kitchen's cost us money, and the guy's horrendous, man. So, sorry for my rant. Colts -1, like it.
Yeah, I want to go on a little rant too. Not just about the Browns, because we lost on the Browns with the Rams game and last week, and I feel like there was another one. Maybe we had them on Monday Night Football, but not just them. But what I really stink and hate is the ref. The officiating crew of that game is the worst crew out of all the crews. Forget Jerome Boger. This crew throws so many flags. They slow down the game. Everything is a roughing the passer call with them. The guy's name is Adrian something. Eddie, you look this stuff up for me. I don't want to bet on this guy's games anymore. It was just as bad as the Jets Cowboys game with all the flags that they were throwing in this game. So they got so many calls wrong. There was an illegal block they called
the Rams. Yeah, the block was horrendous.
Oh my God! Browns Baker played a bad game, but the refs had a lot to do with that game too. So I know I'm talking about a team that's not on a bye week, but I'm bitching about a bad. I feel like what was a bad beat, but I hated the officiating crew of that game. They were the same crew that ref, Vic's not going to mind this, but they were the same crew that ref that Bears Broncos game. They called two roughing the passer calls on Denver when they were just regular hits. So they do that constantly every week, that crew. So
yeah, I think he's a new ref. His name's Adrian Hill. I think this is his first year as a referee, so might not be around too much longer.
Yeah, worst crew ever. He's never going to be reffing no playoffs or Super Bowl. I don't care what anybody says.
Next one up, the biggest spread on the board, a historical point spread. First time since 1992 the Bills have been favored by 16-plus points. Wow. It's looking like it's at 17 right now. 15, hoping this means we just chalk it up, get to 5-1, get out of there. I don't care what the spread happens. I'm not going to bet this game. Too high of a number. Took Miami last week on the +3. I did actually bet that game. I did put real money on it like an idiot. But, hey, it worked out. So they covered the spread. I'm so glad they went for two because either way it worked out for me. But, yeah, I think I squeezed all the luck and juice out of betting Miami for the year. So I'm staying away from this game, not going to touch it. I don't like the big spreads. Just hopefully the Bills win.
Who's the QB, man? Is it Fitzmagic or is it Rosen again?
It is Rosen.
Interesting, because
they already came out and announced it.
That team did play a lot better once he got in, but it's always easier for a backup to come in and just gone.
Either you guys playing this game?
I kind of like the Dolphins, man. I mean, look, the Bills are good. They got a great defense. I don't know how Miami's going to score, and I keep saying this, and it's the NFL, though, you know? So, like, I don't know, man. I don't see how the Bills cover it. The line went from 15 to 17, so somebody thinks that, you know, that line wasn't even high enough at 15 to make it go 17. But I see, and I know Vic's going to say this, there's 80% of the money of the bets are split 50-50, right? Yeah. But 80% of the money is on Miami. So, I mean, man, listen, this is not New England. So, and I'm taking the Dolphins, man. It's 17 points. Hold my nose, not pay attention. I hope it doesn't come down to a backdoor cover. Maybe Dolphins don't score 17. I mean, Bills don't score 17. I'm not sure. But somehow, some way, I have a feeling I'll take my chances with +17 here.
Yeah, I lean the Dolphins. I don't know if I could put real money on them just because, like, Eddie knows this. I've been on the Bills wagon all year. I think they're an elite defense. Last year, Eddie, you probably remember this, but Allen had monster games against the Dolphins last year.
Five touchdowns in one of them.
Yeah, I just remember from a fantasy perspective that I think he was like QB1 and QB2 the two times that they played them last year. So I know they have it in them to blow them open, and I don't see how Miami scores, man. So I do agree with John, though. The money is on the fin. 17 points is a lot. It could come down to a backdoor touchdown, but I just don't see how I could put real money on the Dolphins this week.
One thing to note is the Bills are coming off the bye this week, so they've had an extra week to prepare. I think they really want to get their offense going, so I wouldn't be surprised if they kind of put it on them a little bit to try and run up the score if they are able to. Because they really want to get their offense clicking. It hasn't been doing pretty well the past two games, really the past couple, actually. So in every game that they've played in has gone under this year. I don't know if you guys know that, but that's one little tidbit there. So we could be due for an over here. The total is extremely low in this situation. So, but yeah, I don't see Miami scoring more than 10 points, if that. But if they do, I think they cover. If not, then I think Buffalo covers. So it's one of those games that's correlated with the total. Usually you can't parlay or tease in a game, so or tease together. So
I've been, this has nothing to do with gambling, but I've been streaming my quarterback in fantasy football for the last, this whole season. And I picked up Josh Allen like last week looking at this matchup. So
look now at that the next three.
Okay. All right. I mean, I got him for this week. I haven't looked ahead. So, you know what? Hopefully he does pour it on them a little bit here. So
you want to talk about an easy schedule? The Bills have such an easy schedule. Like, I listened to this segment where this guy, local radio station, he picks the Bills every week, and he tries to, like, not be biased. And it's really hard for them to not go 12-4 the rest of the way. Their schedule is a joke. I mean, they go home this week against Miami. They got to go Philadelphia at home the following week, whose secondary is just a mess. And then Washington at home the next week. And then at Cleveland. And, I mean, they only have – they don't have very many difficult games coming up. So,
well, keeping him for a few weeks.
Yeah, you definitely – you can take advantage, ride him these next three games for sure. Especially all home games against bad teams or bad secondaries. So
I love them. I love them in this the next few weeks coming up, man.
Definitely. So we're all over. We're not really touching that game. Next one though, we might have a pick of the week here. Minnesota at Detroit. Detroit slight underdog +1. All the money coming in on Minnesota. Vic, I think you wanted to kind of touch on this. John, I know this is your team, but Vic, you might have this as your pick of the week. Yes or no?
Yeah, I'm debating between the Lions and the Seahawks. I think I just want to get John's perspective on this because he's always seen how the Lions bounce back. But to me, the Lions are just a much better team than the Vikings. The Vikings are like night and day when they're playing at home as opposed to the road. Everyone's on the Vikings, how they played last week. But the Lions are the better team, man. Their defense should be able to get to Cousins, slow him down. Stop the run. I think the Lions win and win big this game. So I'm still going back and forth between my pick of the week. 68% of the public is on Minnesota. What do you think, John?
I feel guilty because I think I talked you out of the you were going to take Lions last week for your pick of the week.
And I bet on them, so it's all good. I had them in my contest. I bet on them. Right. So it's all good.
Yeah, but I always talk cocky about the way I pick the Lions games, but if anyone's been listening to the pod, I haven't been on the right side of Lions games all year. Like I didn't like them against, you know, I didn't like them against the Chiefs. I didn't like them against the Packers. I don't know, man. I feel like after what happened last week, listen, they played Minnesota really good at home last year.
Yep. Exactly.
So that was a good sign. So I don't know, man. This is a tough game, man. It's not. I don't think they're going to win easily. This is a 3-point game, one way or another. So if they end up pulling this game off, it's going to be because their defense. It's going to be because they're going to play man to man and they'll be able to shut down Thielen and Diggs, which is kind of hard to do sometimes. So I don't see Cooks having that good of a game. It's going to come down to Cousins. If they can bring out the Cousins of road games that he plays, yep, then we'll be in a good spot. But this is not a like pick 'em where we're going to just, know right off the bat that this is a winner. This is going to be a grind 'em out game, just like every Lions game has been this year. So I don't know if that helps you. I'm not betting this game. I'm going to watch it as a fan, right, and cheer for the Lions to end up winning.
No, that's fair. I just have seen this Vikings team so much in the past 2 years, and I'm really impressed by what the Lions are doing, especially on defense. I thought Patricia's put together some great game plans, and I've just seen Cousins on the road and how he is against good D's. And I think that the Lions, as long as they're mentally over everything that happened in that Packers game, I think they win this game easy. Eddie, how about you? Any thoughts on this game?
You guys are my NFC North experts, and this was number 2 on my wish list for picks of the week. So Detroit is who I like in this spot too. I think they come back a little pissed off, a little motivated from what happened on Monday night. They know they can't lose another division game, so I think that's another big influencer here. And Vic, you touched on it. Minnesota at home versus on the road. Night and day, completely, totally different teams. So I always like to fade Minnesota on the road, bet them at home. And I think with the amount of public money that's going to come in because of the way they've looked the past 2 weeks against the Giants, who weren't that good, even though it was on the road, and then at home last week against Philly, might think that, oh, hey, they're back. But I think no team's as good as their last game or as good as their best game, not as bad as their worst game. So I think we're going to get that regression back to the middle of who the true Vikings are in this spot here. And I like the Lions a lot situationally and with the number based on where the money's coming in.
Boom. So
all in agreement there. So is it your pick of the week, or are you going to decide after we talk about Seattle?
Yeah, I'm going to – when we get to Seattle, I will decide.
All right. Next up
– it's either one or two.
Next up is Oakland at Green Bay. Opened up 7, now down to 5.5. Oakland surprising a lot of people. They're 3-2, but I don't like them in this spot here. One thing that concerns me is the lack of motivation Green Bay might have. But if they are motivated, I think they kind of put Oakland back in their spot, in their place, because I still don't think Oakland is as good as their record is. They've gotten some good spots situationally. So I kind of lean Green Bay here versus Oakland. They're going to be tired eventually coming off of all these road trips. So Green Bay is who I would bet if I do. I don't think I'm going to take this game, though. Maybe I will. We'll see. But, John, you like anyone in this one?
I'm a little worried about Green Bay offensively. Like they're kind of have nobody, right? They got Alan Lazard playing wide receiver out there. Scantlin was hurt. Allison was hurt. If Davante Adams ends up playing this game, I can see, you know, Aaron Rodgers finally putting it together offensively. The Green Bay defense should be able to hold on against the Raiders offense. So looking at where the numbers at, it started at 7 and ended up at 6. I don't know. I'm not playing this game. There's other – we already talked about some other ones I liked at 1 o'clock. So this is not something I'll be getting myself involved with.
Vic, how about you?
Yeah, I mean, the Raiders did look good to me. Obviously, it was against my Bears, and I saw them in person, and their offense is clicking a little bit. I was impressed by their O-line, but I don't know, man. It's a tough spot for me. I wish that I got 7.5, but now that it's down to like 5, 5.5, I don't think I'm going to touch it.
So stay away across the board, it sounds like, from us on that one. Another stay away probably, I'm hoping and guessing, Jacksonville on the road, -3.5 against the awful Cincinnati Bengals. I'm not going to touch this game. I know Cincinnati's probably who you should bet here, but I'm not going to do it. I have no desire to watch it. So either one of you playing this game?
What a snooze fest. I didn't realize that this game was at 1 o'clock. Yeah, this is worse than the Cardinals-Giants game. This game will definitely get no play on Red Zone. So, unless Minshew starts acting like, you know, Minshew mania again. But I'm not getting involved in this game. But you're right, Bengals are probably the side if you were to get involved.
Yeah, I'll sit this one out. I disagree with you, John. I think Cards-Giants is probably exciting for fantasy in Red Zone. This game is just the dumps compared to that game. So, yeah, there's no way I'm putting money on either one of these squads, man. Maybe the Jags, the Ewing theory is in effect, where the Jags will play better now that all the Ramsey stuff is done. So that'll be interesting.
Yeah.
Speaking of Jalen Ramsey, his new team is playing at 1 o'clock against the Atlanta Falcons in Atlanta. Opened up at 4, now it's down to 3. Guys, I think Atlanta might be one of the worst 5 teams in football. They are just not clicking right now. And I don't know what's going on with them, but they are not a good football team. Their defense is a mess. It's one of the worst in the NFL, and Dan Quinn's supposed to help it out. Matt Ryan is not the same quarterback since Kyle Shanahan has left him. I think majority of the action is coming in on Atlanta somehow, surprisingly. Yep. I hate saying this, but again, I kind of lean a favorite on the road, which is just not something I'm supposed to do. I kind of like the Rams in the spot here. I don't see them going 3-4. And I've noticed that this year, I saw a stat earlier this week. Quarterbacks that play Atlanta have their best games of the season. Their secondary is just awful. All these quarterbacks have just lit them up. So I think Carson Wentz was the only one who didn't finish like as a top 10 passer the week they played the Falcons. So even Mariota lit them up in the secondary. So I will take the Rams here if I were to bet it, but I probably will not. So leave it up to you guys.
Mine will be quick. You guys know this. I have been auto-fading the Falcons for the last 3 weeks and have won money every single week. So, again, blindly auto-fading the Falcons. You said it. They're terrible. Their coach is terrible. So I don't know. I think that by the end of the year, I will be green. So that's something I decided 3 weeks ago. So far I'm 3-0. So I'm taking the Rams -3. I know the Rams are beat up. I know there's RLM on the Falcons, but I'm taking the Rams. How about you, John?
Yeah, you just hit it. I was a little worried about the RLM, but I can't take these guys. They stink. And I like the Rams. Jared Goff is going to need probably to have a good game, and there's a great team to do that against. I like them. I like the Rams, right, a little bit, but probably going to end up staying away because there's other games that I'm already going to be playing at 1 o'clock. I don't need to play everything. I like – this is such a sucker pick. Because I never play them, and anytime I give them out, it's always sucker over. But I kind of like the over in this game. Right? I don't know, but that's really Joe Public, so – I'm not going to end up touching this game. Just little thoughts I thought about.
Last game on the 1 o'clock slate, San Francisco at Washington.
Sorry, I need to cut you off. John, that has jumped, though. It's up to, 54.5. So it's gone up 2.5 points.
Yeah, it started 52.5. It ended up at 54, right? I saw that, but it's still Joe Public to me.
San Francisco at Washington. San Francisco -10. I see some 9.5s out there. Again, not a game I'm touching. I have no opinion on this. Vic, you got anything on this one?
Man, I want to take the Skins so bad, but just because I know this line is inflated by 2-3 points, right? But Niners are playing amazing. Their defense is what I'm really impressed with. I mean, offense we knew with Garoppolo back and really good coach, they would come up with schemes and Shanahan, but their D is legit top five and everything the last I saw. So, no, I'll sit this one out. I lean the Skins, but what about you guys? What do you guys think?
Yeah, I lean the Skins too. I feel like 49ers were, proving who they were the last 2 weeks against the Browns and against the Rams, who, that was a game that we can definitely say we were definitely on the wrong side about. We didn't think the 49ers were going to be able to do what they did to the Rams. I can see them a little bit of a letdown game, right? They're not going to lose, but the line is all the way up to 10. I can see maybe a backdoor, maybe a Washington, comes out to a quick lead that the 49ers can't end up recovering the 10 points from. So kind of like Redskins in this spot. I don't know if I'm going to be able to lay any of my money on it, but I can see the 49ers kind of having a letdown game here.
All right. So next up, we got a possible 405 special. The Chargers are at the Titans. This line has jumped a little bit, opened up -1. Now it's up to -2. Mariota heading to the bench. Ryan Tannehill is going to be starting this game. John, I know you were talking about this as possibly your pick of the week, so I'll let you kick it off first.
Yeah, this is it's not my pick of the week. It's my, I got 1A and 1B. I don't know if we can, we don't do two picks of the week, right? But I like Tennessee in this. I would have liked them a lot more if the Chargers didn't look as bad as they did on Sunday night. So that might hurt a little bit as of where the line is going. But this line started at Pick'em. It's up to -2, and 70% of the bets are on the Chargers, but 60% of the money, almost 60% of the money, is on Tennessee. So that just blindly tells me to take that team. So it's a 405 game. They're looking at it. Tennessee, Chargers. They're gonna, people are just gonna randomly pick the Chargers when they see those two teams. Tennessee's defense is pretty good. I was watching that Tennessee-Denver game last week because I had money on Denver. But Tennessee, when Tannehill came in, they started to move the ball a little bit better than they did when Mariota was in there. So who knows if Tannehill doesn't have a 4-interception game and they go back to Mariota the next week, Tennessee is going to end up winning this game. So I like them in this spot. It's not my pick of the week, but really close to it. I would definitely play. I'm definitely playing this game when it comes down to it at 405.
Vic, what do the percentages look like on this one?
Yeah, I mean, you're looking at the public is 68% on the Chargers. 58% of the money is actually on Tennessee. And so the line is at about minus two, down to about minus 1.5 across the board. So I got to ride with John here, man. John hasn't been wrong with his 405 special yet, I think, this season. So we got to start selling those T-shirts if the Titans win this weekend. But I'll take the Titans, man. Like, I think they're at home. They're in a good spot. The Chargers just look – yeah, I don't know. Something about them just looks decimated, especially their defense. They looked really, really bad. And so I'll ride with John. I'll take the Titans.
Yeah, you know me and my offensive lines, how I'm big on the offensive line play. And right now, Chargers, their O-line is just a mess. So I like Tennessee. Their defense is still pretty good. Their offense is what's been holding them back so much this year. And I think, you know, if they can just get any type of rhythm on offense with Tannehill in there, that'll help them out maybe with a week to game plan. Can, you know, help out that offense, give them the spark that they need. And hard to game plan for a quarterback you've never seen in this offense. So I don't trust Mike Vrabel as a coach that much. I don't think he's very good. He admitted it himself this week. He's not a good coach. I think it was a little sarcasm, but it's actually kind of the truth. So I do like Tennessee in this spot. Anything, I think, two and under, you're in a good spot to get them there. So
Five Dimes has it at one. A couple of other books have them at 1.5 right now.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I think that's pretty solid. I do want to bring in fantasy for a second. When I did see these offensive line injuries for the Chargers, I immediately dumped Melvin Gordon the week before this game. That was last week, basically. So I dumped Melvin Gordon and Mark Andrews for Hunter Henry and Michael Thomas, which is working out pretty nice so far.
Wow. That's
yeah. So I saw the injuries. I was like, Melvin Gordon, I don't think he's going to have that good of a year. Plus, we've seen how Zeke is coming back from the holdout, and he's not doing as well. But, yeah, I do like
– whoever gave you Michael Thomas and Hunter Henry for Melvin Gordon is a sucker.
He's actually a really good fantasy player. So I was surprised he agreed to it. We all kind of agree on the Titans there, I think, in that spot. Very good at coming back at home. And the Chargers kind of decimated with injuries. So Baltimore at Seattle. Vic, this is who you were talking about as your second option for the game of the week. Are there any threes out there, or is it all 3.5s?
No, there's a bunch of threes, man. That's why I like it.
Give me the threes then. I'll be right there with you.
A bunch of offshores have three. My book has three right now, which is nice. So I like it, man. Seattle has really, really impressed me. They are playing – Russell Wilson's playing at MVP level. Seattle at home, we know, is just a really, really dangerous squad. And the public's on the Ravens, understandably so, after a good week last week. But they have a lot of holes in their secondary. I think Seattle can control this game and win by at least a touchdown. So I like Seattle. I'll kick it off to you guys, see what you guys think, and then I can kind of make my pick of the week.
Love Seattle in this spot. I think Seattle is similar to how we bet the Saints, and how it's like you always feel this is a good spot to fade them, and they still come out and cover it somehow. So I like Seattle here, especially if you could find a three. My book right now has it 3.5 plus 100, so hoping it can dip down to three. Bottom line is the Ravens, they don't play well against good teams. I mean, they got smacked by Cleveland in Cleveland. Yeah. That's not even a good team. They lost to Kansas City in a game that was more lopsided than the score showed. And the teams that they beat are the Dolphins, Arizona at home, who they barely scraped by, Pittsburgh, who they barely scraped by, and Cincinnati, who they only beat by 6. So they're playing with bad teams and they're beating them, but they don't play well against the good teams. And I think we're going to really find out who they are in these next two games here, because they got Seattle and New England coming up these next couple of weeks here. So I like Seattle in this spot here a lot, especially if we can get a three. hoping I can get one myself. So Seattle minus three, I like is a good pick here for you.
Yeah, if you can't get to three, you know, lay the hook, right? So I like Seattle's spot because they're home. Like Eddie said, I like them. Just like I like when the Saints are at home, I like playing Seattle when they're at home. That crowd is amazing, especially at a 4 o'clock. You know, it's going to be kind of like a primetime game probably for them. What Baltimore does well is what Seattle's probably going to be able to stop. Seattle's defensively secondary is so-so. So what Baltimore's going to want to do is going to match up perfectly what Seattle can defend. And then on the other side of the ball, you got Russell Wilson just playing out of his stinking mind. Like he is definitely the MVP candidate right now, top MVP candidate. So the only thing that worries me a little bit is if you look at the money, it is on Baltimore. So I don't know if this is a sharp pick, as you know, some people would say, with taking Seattle here, but I still like them just because I like Saints at home, like I was saying, I like Seattle home. So I'm gonna be riding with you here, Vic. If I can't get three, I'll pay for it.
Yeah, I think it's fair. I will go with Seattle as my pick of the week. I love Detroit. I'm just mentally worried, like maybe they're not over it, but I'll go with Seattle as my pick of the week.
I like it. John, I think this was the other one you were talking about as your pick of the week. We have the national game, 4:25, Saints at the Bears. It's down to three. A lot of money coming in on the Saints. Bears minus three is what we got here so far. So, John, we'll kick it off to you first, and then it's weird. You guys were both talking about the opposite team as their pick of the week. I know you were looking at the line.
Maybe we're trying to we're secretly trying to mush each other, right?
I see it. Yeah. All right, so John, who are you liking in this one?
I love the Bears in this spot. The Saints, you know, they're a trendy dog. I don't know if you guys listen to Chris Felica. He's a college football guy, but he doesn't talk about NFL games, but he calls these games a dog with fleas. So that's what I feel like the Saints are. They're a dog with fleas in this game. That's his line, not mine. So Saints are getting the points here, and that's where everybody's at. They're taking them on the public's on them, and worries me a little bit that the money's on them also. But I just these are the kind of games I'm pretty good at. These NFC North teams, when they're at home, they're giving about, you know, the 3-point spread that they're giving. I liked Vikings last week against the Eagles. We saw how that turned out. I can see this crowd just getting so amped up into this game that the defense is just going to straight up take over. I've seen it so many times with the Bears. Trubisky, hopefully he's playing. He's just going to do what he needs to do on that side of the ball. But the Saints offensively haven't done anything, you know, and they're winning, right? But they're winning with Teddy Checkdown. He's making a lot of, you know, they're making a lot of plays where the risk is not there. So if the Bears can jump out to a quick lead against this, you know, this pretty good defense, then I don't see the Saints coming back with Teddy Bridgewater at quarterback. So I'm going with the Bears. I love their defense. Trubisky's going to do enough to win the game. The line is three. Hopefully, you know, worst case scenario, it lands on three. I don't see this being a 1 or 2 point game, but definitely making Bears my pick of the week.
Vic, yep. This is your spot, so you go next.
I think it's a good bet, man. The Bears defense, especially at home, is just a monster, man. This week, this year, they're only giving up 8 points a game. I think last year, they were only giving up, I think, 10 points a game, 10 or 11 points a game at home. So they know they need to carry this squad. I think they were embarrassed a little bit by their performance against the Raiders. So I know that D's going to be up for the task, and I see them stepping up, man. I think it's a good bet. Everyone's on the Saints. This is a perfect situational spot for the Bears. They're coming off of a bye week. Coach Nagy said he's going to make some changes to the offensive scheme. Our O-line, we have made some big changes because that's been terrible. And the defense should be up for this game. So I agree with John. I think this is a good spot for the Bears.
I am in agreement with you guys. I'm not as strong on this game as you guys, but I do like it a lot. So I think the Saints, man, they're one of those teams that I can't predict when they're going to come out flat. There's spots where I think it's going to happen, and they don't. So I do think in this spot here, the Saints are pretty banged up. Alvin Kamara might not play, and even if he does, he's not going to be even close to 100%. So that's another big loss for their offense. He's kind of the key since Breeze has been gone. I think you'll get a heavy dose of Latavius Murray in this spot here, which will kind of help. And I do think this is where they finally fall. They've won, I think, 4 games now with Teddy Bridgewater. So I think this is finally the one that kind of drops a little bit. And we get a little bit of a regression and get the Bears to take the win here. And then I think they play the Cardinals in New Orleans next week, probably win that game, go on the bye, and then Breeze will be back. So this will be the game here where they fall flat. I don't think they win two road games in a row. Their defense has been what's carrying them, and I think that's eventually going to kind of hold them back a little bit. And the fact that they can't score points is going to cause some trouble. So I like it. Not as heavy as you guys do, but I'm in agreement with you guys. So.
Yeah, their D's been awesome. Cameron Jordan's a monster. I will say, just knowing this Bears defense the last 2 years, just watching them, the Saints offense is kind of the kind of offense that the Bears feast on a little bit. So they're good against the run. They're good against these game manager type quarterbacks. I've seen it time and time again over the past 2 years. So just another reason why I think the Bears pull this one out.
Interesting. I like that. Now we have a Sunday night football game. That is the last one for, I don't know, we do have Monday night as well, but Philadelphia Eagles at Dallas. Dallas favored by 3. This one's kind of stayed pretty much the same. I know the juice has fluctuated a little bit, but we got Dallas minus 3 at home. I do have a pretty strong lean on this game, so I'll touch on it last. I kind of want to get your guys' opinions first. So, Vic, who do you like in this one if you have a side?
I like the Cowboys. I'm just really worried about their injuries right now, so I'm kind of up in the air. That's why I haven't really touched this game yet. I want to see how it plays out, because yesterday when I read, they were missing Cooper. They're missing 2 of their tackles. I think they're missing a guard. And so the offense seems devastated. I like the Cowboys. I think it's a good situational spot for them, prime time. But these NFC games always seem like field goal games, man. So I don't see a lot of value in the line either way. The public's all over the Eagles right now. I'll pass it on to you guys. John, what are you thinking?
I'm with you. I like the Cowboys. I'm worried about the tackles not playing. That definitely hindered them last week against the Jets. So the reason why I was on the Jets last week, I wasn't surprised that they actually won the game. Yeah. Hopefully those tackles are back. Hopefully Cooper is back, because Cooper is going to be able to feast on that secondary that's not that good.
Yeah. Mainly he's doubtful this week.
Is he doubtful?
Yeah, he's probably – it's not looking like he's going to play.
All right. Listen, the coach of the Eagles, his name is – I can't
Doug
think
Peterson.
Of his name right now. Peterson. Doug Peterson said he guaranteed a victory, didn't he?
He did,
That,
a lot.
He came back and said he didn't guarantee it. It was really weird.
Oh, okay. I mean, I kind of caught it. I didn't see anybody talking about it. I saw a glimpse, like, scroll across my feed saying that he guaranteed a victory or something. But, I mean, whatever. It's out there, you know. So that's bulletin board material for a team that just lost last week to the Jets. And, you know, Jerry Jones is going to be – he's going to be the rally guy for this team, I think. So I kind of like the Cowboys. I'm worried about their injuries. If I play this game – well, what am I saying? I'm going to end up taking a side. It's going to be Sunday night, right? So
we're all betting this game.
Yeah, for sure I am betting this game. But I'll wait to see where the tackles are at. Those 2 tackles being out is huge. But the Philly defense, Kirk Cousins showed you how to beat them last week, right? So
yeah, I feel like a 2-year thing where their secondary is just so beat up. that they got guys coming off the street. The
Eagles. What are you thinking, Eddie?
I'm going to be on an island by myself. I like the Eagles plus the three. I know it's the public side. I have a – and I'm not just saying this like I know some other touts out there do. There's one guy I know who actually bets sports for a living, and I know he was very big on the Eagles very early. So that was kind of what made my initial lean for this game. But the injuries that both of these teams have are pretty big. But mostly for the Eagles, it's the secondary. And for the Cowboys – it's their offense. So it's the two tackles, which are huge for them. And then also it is the Amari Cooper injury. And we all seen how Dak plays without Amari Cooper, and he's just kind of like a lost puppy out there. So I think that's going to help the secondary out a little bit with Amari Cooper not being available to play for this game. Dak doesn't have too many weapons out there in the passing game. Michael Gallup may be the first wide receiver, Tavon Austin, Randall Cobb. I mean, just a bunch of average wide receivers that are going to be playing in this game. So I don't think the secondary woes will be too much of a problem for the Eagles. They're coming off a loss. I think they're playing three straight road games because they play the Bills next week in Buffalo. So this is going to be tough, and I think this is a big divisional game for them. They know they need it. I'm hoping they get a win here, so then it suits up nicely for the Bills next week when they come into town and can hopefully catch them in a little bit of a letdown spot. And, yeah, I just think that the Eagles here – I know both teams are in bad shape, but I think we talked about how Kansas City earlier, they've been kind of figured out. The blueprint is out there for how to beat them. And I think it's kind of how it is for Dallas and Dak Prescott and the Cowboys right now, where they've – lost their last three games, and they really haven't been able to figure out a way to score on offense these past couple of games. So it looked like their offense was one of the best in the NFL early on. They were just beating up on crappy teams when they were coming into town. I think their three wins were, Giants, Redskins, and the Dolphins. So who have they beaten? Nobody.
Nope. Yeah, no one. This is what John, this is what Doug Peterson said. He said, "We're going down in Dallas. Our guys are going to be ready to play, and we're going to win that football game. And when we do, we're in first place in the NFC East. We control our destiny. We're right where we want to be."
So the word guarantee was not used.
You know, whatever. You know how everyone is. They're like, yeah.
That's what the Cowboys say, though. So.
Yeah. I mean, he said, "We're going to win that football game."
Yeah, he did.
Right. Well, what's up? All right. What does the coach better say? "Oh, we're going to go in. Lose next week," or like, obviously the coach is going to say that. So,
yep, and that's kind of how he phrased it in his press conference the following day or whatever, where he talked about it and said, "What am I?" Yeah, he said, "What am I supposed to say? We're going to go down there and lose." But I never. He's like, "I never guaranteed a win."
This is random, but it just popped up. Dolphins are going back to Fitzmagic over Rosen.
Oh, they are. Okay, well, that's opposite of what Brian Flores said in his press conference on Monday.
Yeah.
So, interesting. All right. So, Monday Night Football, last game of the week here, New England at the Jets. I'll just kick it off real quick. I liked this game a lot. This was number three on my wish list. I'm going to be on the Jets for the next couple of weeks here until they kind of figure out what's – until the public kind of figures out what's up with Sam Darnold. I think he's legit. I think the Jets are actually a much different football team with him in there. I mean, we only saw one game against them this year, and it was against, you know, one of the best defenses in the NFL. I know he's going against another one here. But I think that the Jets are kind of refueled with him in at quarterback. When you have a guy who you cut the week after he started a football game at quarterback, you know you're just in rough shape and you have no way of winning these games. So I love the Jets with Sam Darnold in here. I told you before the season that I thought he was going to make a big step forward this year. I like them coming into the year. Their defense is pretty solid. So I think on Monday Night Football at home, give me 10 points here. I'll take those 10 points, and I think that we'll get a nice cover out of the Jets here. I don't think they're going to win the game necessarily. They could. I wouldn't be surprised if somehow they pulled some rabbit out of the hat and pulled out a win, but I do think it's a pretty close game throughout, and then maybe New England, you know, pulls it out by a touchdown at the end. So I'll take the Jets plus the 10 points here.
Yeah, we're recording this one early Wednesday morning, right? And this will probably drop Thursday. So hopefully you can still get a 10 or whatever. But I don't feel like this line's going to get your 10s early, because I don't feel like by the time this game kicks off on Monday night, that it might be 10. I love the Jets in the spot also. I think 10 points is way too much. This is a field goal game. Their defense is legit. Sam Darnold's legit. So I can totally see them. And New England's offense hasn't done anything. It's the defense and the special teams that's been winning games for them. So I'm all over the Jets in this spot also. I love the 10 points. I'll take them also with you, Eddie.
Nick, are we 3 for 3?
We're 3 for 3. I like the Jets, man. They looked really, really good. Like you said, they're just a lot better team. And Le'Veon's playing really well. I think that's one thing no one's really talking about this season, man. But he's been really good. So I'm with you guys. I agree with John. I think this line is going to be 9.5 or 9 by the time the game rolls around. So grab your 10s. There's a bunch of 10s out there. So I like the Jets plus 10.
Love it. All right. So that's the NFL week 7 board. Go to week 8 in college football. It's crazy how late that's getting. Last week, we didn't do too well. John, I know you're in for a big bounce back week. These past 2 weeks haven't treated you well, but we know long term you are the man in college football. Is there anything you like in this week in college football? I do have one game myself, and there's one I wanted to kind of chat with you guys on. So,
all right. Maybe I'll pick another one while we're on the pod. Maybe you can steer me in a direction about one of the games that you're talking about. But God, that I gave such a bad pick out last week. And the funny thing is, that, you know, that was a pretty trendy, sharp pick, Michigan State, but that was such a freaking horrible game they played last week. That was, the week before, I had some bad beats, but I gave out that pick on Wednesday. And then after we got off, and you know, it was Thursday, Friday, and I was looking at more games, I was like, oh my God, I like this game. Oh my God, I like this game. There were so many nice games that I end up picking for myself after, you know, after we recorded the pod. I just felt like shit that I gave out such a shitty pick last week, and I did so good besides that one game. So I'm kind of in the same boat right now. I can't find a lot of things we like. Maybe we can talk about a primetime game. I got one pick only, and I'm going to go back to it because I've been doing good on these MAC games. I like Ball State against Toledo. Ball State is getting 2.5 points. They're at home. Toledo is supposed to be the team of that, of the MAC conference. But, you know, Ball State's been playing really good lately. The line has moved in their favor, and that's because the money is on Ball State. It's not a lot of bets on them because it's still early in the week, but the money is on Ball State. So I'm going to go with them. If somebody wants a pick from me, you know, you want to reach out to me, I'm not going to answer. I don't put my picks out on Twitter, and say a bunch of games that I like. But if you want, you can send me a DM. Maybe I can kind of tell you what I was thinking, what I'm thinking on Saturday morning. But for now, I like Ball State. What are you thinking, Eddie?
Is that what you're making that a pick?
Yeah, that's my only pick I got. So that's my pick of the week is Ball State.
So mine is, as Lee Corso would say, Washington. I like the the Huskies plus 3 at home against Oregon.
I knew this.
I just think it's one of those. Yeah, it's one of those early games. It's a really big game for the conference, the Pac-12. I think it's like a 3:30 start, which would be 12 out there. I just like it. It's a good spot. Washington hasn't lived up to expectations this year, but they're still a good football team. I think Oregon public is going to be all over them, only having to lay 3 points on the road. But Oregon has also been kind of one of those teams that hasn't lived up to expectations, but they've also been kind of the team that's been controlling the Pac-12, if you were to say that, for this year. So I do like Washington at home plus 3. That's going to be my pick for college football. And one I wanted to kind of run by you guys was a team that we've run into a lot this year, either picking or fading. The BYU, they are home plus 6.5 against Boise.
Yep.
How do you guys feel about that one? Is there anything you guys like on that one?
Okay, I don't know if you know this, but BYU is like on their fourth or fifth string quarterback. They lost the first couple quarterbacks.
I did not know.
They're not playing with a full team. I don't know if there's a difference between the first string quarterback, but I know that their two guys are battling out who's going to end up playing this game. So they've kind of been in a rough spot, I would say, the last few weeks. BYU, Boise's been playing good. I'm not laying 6 points though in a rival game like that. So that's kind of a stay away from me. I just want to let you know that's where BYU was with their quarterback situation.
Then I'm not making it a pick.
Yeah.
Vic, anything you like in college?
No, you know, I was looking at Washington, man. So I'm glad that you brought them up because I agree with you on that game. The only thing that scares me a little bit was just how good the Oregon defense has actually been. I mean, we all know through the years, Oregon's offense is a machine, but their D's look really, really good. So that's the only reason it's not like a pick of the week for me, but I'll tail you on that one. And don't have anything else, man. So I think that's it. We can recap our picks for sure.
Yeah, so for college football, we got Ball State. That's John's pick. Washington as my pick. And then for the NFL, I'm going with the Colts. Vic, you got?
Seattle.
John, you got?
The Bears.
All right, so we got.
Let's go. 5-0. Seattle. We're going to get back.
Let's get it, man. Seattle, Indianapolis, and the Bears are our three picks in the NFL for this week. So appreciate everybody listening. You guys got anything else for this week you wanted to add a throw in?
No. And I think
hopefully we're not bitching about refs.
Let's hope so.
I hope people like our ref rant. No, man, I thank you all for listening. As always, like John said, anytime you guys have any questions, want to tweet us, we love to interact. You can DM us, tweet us at the Syndicates on Twitter. We'd love to hit you guys back.
Yeah, we've been getting some more people interacting with us on Twitter, so we definitely appreciate the love and enjoy interacting with everybody. So appreciate everyone listening. Good luck to everyone this week. Hopefully no teams get screwed, no bets get screwed over, and we all go home winners next week. So we'll talk to you guys next week.
Good luck. Let's go.
See ya.